It's Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET, where I'm Nick Austin, filling in for Stephen Henderson. And we've been talking a lot today about the best way to create good-paying jobs in Michigan, which many believe are critical to what we do in terms of having success in our economy. A critical part of that would be small businesses, of course, as they have the power to directly address community needs and bring dollars to expand local economies. But if you've ever had to start a business, you know it's expensive and it's risky. Whether it's doing hair, baking cupcakes, or constructing buildings, money is needed to create products and develop a brand. Unfortunately, money is scarce for many entrepreneurs, especially when they're starting a business. One pilot program in Ann Arbor is seeking to change that. The Ann Arbor City Council recently approved a guaranteed income program for 100 random entrepreneurs with low and moderate incomes, providing them over $500 a month for 2 years. The program hopes to help recipients create businesses and move up the economic ladder. We have two guests here now to discuss the program. Kristen Seafelt is the Associate Director of the Poverty Solutions Initiative and an Associate Professor of Social Work and Public Policy at the University of Michigan. She leads the Guaranteed Income Program's research team. Professor Seafelt, welcome to Detroit Today. And we also have with us Lynn Song, an Ann Arbor City Council member who sponsored the Ann Arbor Guaranteed Income Initiative. Council Member Song, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thank you for having me.
We'll start with you, Council Member Song, as Ann Arbor is the first city in Michigan to adopt this kind of program. Why did Ann Arbor decide this was a good idea for its city?
Well, I've wanted this for Ann Arbor since learning about UBI through Mississippi's Magnolia Mothers Trust and Stockton's work in 2019. I only joined council in 2020, and since then I've done my best to advocate for anti-poverty and justice work. Ann Arbor is the eighth most segregated community in the country, and with that comes inequities like housing access, and there's actually a nine-year life expectancy difference between Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti. So in 2021, when Ann Arbor was awarded $24 million in ARPA funds, that's the American Rescue Plan Act funding. With the leadership of City Hall, we had a series of community engagement sessions. We asked residents how they wanted to commit these dollars, and UBI was one of them as an option, and it ranked pretty high with residents with support from social service agencies, and it aligned with our other ARPA allocations towards homelessness, affordable housing, and funding for social service agencies. So we got behind this idea because we felt like this is how we could best dedicate money that's supposed to be responsive to pandemic relief. We saw our community had been suffering before the pandemic, and it was just exacerbated during the pandemic. I'm really excited for this partnership with the University of Michigan to see this through.
Yeah. No, it's really interesting. And I know UBI is something that a lot of us have discussed. In terms of the implementation of this program, can you tell us exactly how it would work?
So we dedicated the money last year, had an RFP, and the University of Michigan Poverty Solutions came through and is actually contracted with the city of Ann Arbor to administer the program. So it's really up to Kristen's program and researchers to not only allocate the funding to, we're looking at about 500 residents over a two-year period. I'm sorry, 100 residents over a two-year period at $500 a month, and having a research study to follow the impact on the community.
Yeah, and are there any specific metrics that you're looking for? How will you know whether this was a success or not?
I mean, what we are really looking for is to see what kind of mental health outcomes, other health outcomes could this money could alleviate, some stress and worries for folks who are facing housing insecurity. We are in a housing crisis in Washington County here. I'd like to see folks be able to avoid eviction, be able to stay in a very expensive city. Our average median income for a four-person household is over 100K at this point. So my hope is that we can have more residents be able to stay in Ann Arbor and thrive in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, and I think that's a very noble goal, which we would all want. So the question then would be, as I've heard you say a lot about housing insecurity and making sure people are able to take care of their basic needs, to the extent that is the goal of this program, what would you say to someone who might believe this money could have been better spent on other social services, like directly helping people get housing or things more dedicated to some of these issues that you mentioned?
So we actually did allocate funding for homelessness, $1 million for homelessness, $3.5 million towards acquiring more property for affordable housing. I mentioned housing insecurity because as we followed how other pandemic-related funding was falling off with the eviction moratorium ending, child tax credit ending, additional SNAP benefits ending, we saw how that additional assistance could have kept folks more securely housed. And Housing First is a model that Ann Arbor follows, and the county also follows with housing. Once you house someone, then can come wraparound services so folks can seek the additional assistance that they have. But housing is really a primary concern. So we did dedicate money to actually directly address housing, but there's not enough.
Well, no, I understand. I know that you did. That's why I was asking about, housing seems to be the issue. I'm not saying that you didn't dedicate it to it, but I know some would say if we keep hearing this come up, would it be the most efficient way of using funds to help people with housing when, again, this is a limited pilot program. It's only going to be reaching 100 random entrepreneurs and presumably someone who's an entrepreneur, even though you go through a really tough struggle to make that work, that is someone who might not necessarily be in the most dire of circumstances of some there, or maybe the money could be more efficiently spread. Which is what's behind that question. So since I did lay it out that way, I'll just give you a moment to respond before we loop Kristen back in.
Sure. So I think this is what we were looking for, is kind of innovative ways to study what is happening in our community. We know we are in a housing crisis, and we've done things like pass an affordable housing village back in 2020. So our city is making investments towards housing. But when it comes to this particular program, it's we don't actually provide direct social services programs. That's through the county. Mm-hmm. I think this is a good way for us to really understand what are those most pressing needs, what is actually happening with folks. Right. You know, we're hearing from folks who are being priced out, landlords are increasing rents. This will help us prioritize issues with future budget cycles. Yeah. And also looked at partnerships with the county, with the state, with the feds, when we talk about what can provide the most stability for the folks on the margins. If it's eviction, or if it's debt, if it's childcare, transportation, you know, I'm really hoping that this research that U of M will be bringing to us will show us how the working poor work very, very hard. Right. And what are the options to get them so that they can find more stability, more full-time work, and stability for their children.
And that's why we have Kristen Seafelt with us here, the Associate Director of the Poverty Solutions Initiative. We've discussed that this will be, besides the direct impact it will have to those 100 or so people to help out in their situation, it'll also be an opportunity to get really good data to find out what's the best way, what's the most efficient way to provide money to people who really need it and with these things. Since you're going to be running the program, how do you plan to study this initiative? And let us know, Kristen, what are you tracking? And what will a successful outcome look like for this program?
Yeah, sure. So in addition to selecting 100 people to receive the guaranteed income payment, we'll also select another 100 folks from the same pool. They won't receive the payment, although they will receive funds for participating in research, so that we can compare them over time and be able to really say, if we see differences between the two groups, these differences are really being driven by the guaranteed income. And what we're going to look for, first and foremost, are changes in well-being. You know, are people who are getting guaranteed income experiencing less housing instability or other housing problems?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Kristen, we're going to have to get you back on here to discuss this program a little bit more, because it's a little interesting and we're really going to want to know what some of the results from this are. But before I let you go, there again as we are speaking about the new program and initiative here, Ann Arbor, trying out guaranteed income. Lynn, is there any discussion, Councilmember Song, about potentially expanding this in the future if you're able to do so? Have you thought about ways of doing this if this is a successful program?
I mean, I'd like to see some form of this program continuing with future councils, future partners through philanthropy. Hopefully maybe U of M will come forward. I'm following what's happening in Chicago, LA, Pittsburgh, Denver, yep. Stockton, Newark. There are a number of cities who, they're all pilot programs. And for the ones that have ended, private entities have picked up the tab to continue and provide assistance in some form.
Good information really there. We are going to have to close it out here right now. I do appreciate it, Councilmember Song. Sorry for cutting you off there a little bit, but we are running up on the end of the show. I want to thank you, Councilmember Song, as well as Kristen Seafelt of the University of Michigan. You are listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll be back tomorrow with Stephen.